Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, or good morning, or good night, or wherever you are. This is Terry
muted
in Mesa and Wind Tree in Mesa, Arizona. And this is our Wednesday night call where we take questions. Wind needs questions, and I channel answers from the Ra'an group, which is a combination of part of the Elohim and part of the Ra group. So welcome, everybody. It's good to have you on the line and, or on BBS Radio. We've been doing transcripts of the calls, and we... Yes. Wynn wants me to hold on until we record, but...
We are not recording here.
We can't hear you, Wynn. No.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
now we can hear you.
This conference is being recorded.
So we are in Mesa, Arizona. And the phone reception is a lot better here than it's been in Sedona. Sedona, there was a lightning strike, and we didn't have phone service for a couple of days up there, except that Ray Wheeler gave us Uma, and that was working in spite of everything. So thank you, Ray, and I turn it over to Wind Tree.
Good. And... when we started recording, it would have been good to say, hello, everybody. Welcome to everyone listening to the call, the replays,
the date.
What else?
I was going to tell them about www.thespiritchannel.net, where we have the recordings of all of the calls. And the tips which are being caught up.
Okay, it's July 17th, 2013. And this is a reminiscent moment because we haven't, if those of you that have read the Creator God book, the Creator God of the Physical Universe, know that there was a significant event that happened in Mesa, where when I was first in L.A. with Daphne, and I said, isn't there somebody that's going to find this important? They said, to go to Mesa, Arizona, 500 miles. So later on, Daphne was not there, and Terry and I went to Mesa, and... we stayed at this Motel 6, and we were trying to figure out how we're going to find somebody. We had 2 days here. It's not a Motel 6 now, but it was. And we went to a restaurant called Mimi's, and I asked the waitress, what is Mesa known for? And she said, Mormons. And I remembered that when I looked up the word Elohim, that was the word for God in the Mormon, the Book of Mormon. And then I went on the phone book, the Yellow Pages, and I learned that Mesa was a Mormon town. It was an early settlement of the Mormons. Probably more Mormons, percentage-wise here, percentage-wise, the same as Salt Lake City. And so that was my historic going to the Mormon church here in Mesa and introducing myself to the bishop. And if you have ever read that, I suggest go back and read the Creator God book, because it's a very fascinating story and significant, because I asked many questions after that about Mormons, and I learned that one of the reasons that Elohim had worked to create the Mormons with Joseph Smith was to create a venue where Elohim souls could incarnate into this realm and they wouldn't forget who they were. And in fact, we have some of those people coming into our calls recently. And, I started thinking that through, and I realized it made sense. For example, I used Donnie and Marie Osmond as the quintessential Elohim soul in this realm. Because,
I can't hear you. You distorted.
You can't hear him?
You distorted.
I was great saying that. It is not so clear. It's kind of hollow. Can you do something on your mic?
I don't know. Let me turn off the air conditioner here in the room and see if that's creating the problem.
I'm going to unmute you again.
You got better? Is this
yes,
better?
Yes, I think yes.
Is that a lot better?
Yes.
Okay, that's the problem. The air conditioner. Okay. We're just going to have to endure the heat. Okay. All right. Terry, say something.
It is still not an optimum, Win.
Well, I don't know what to do because I don't have my Skype microphone.
Okay.
For the computer. Unless I move it further away. Is that better?
No.
Is that better? Is that better right now?
Yeah, give it a minute.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
You sound clear right now, yes.
Okay, so I'll leave the mic right there. Okay. Well, in any case.
And Teddy, can you move away from him a little bit because he comes through your line as well.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think I'm muted.
Yes.
Am I muted?
Mute yourself.
Mute myself?
Yes.
Okay. So we're here in Mesa because Terry had to go to the dentist here. And I drove... I'm very distorted. Am I distorted, Hans?
I think move your mic a little bit away from you still.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yes, I think let's give it a minute.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2.
I think you're good, but this time.
I'm sorry, we're just going to have to cope with it tonight. Right. I usually bring more backup tools, but I didn't bring them. Terry has my backup microphone because she didn't bring hers. So we are. What's the word? What's the word of what we are? We're having trouble keeping our socks up. And Terry says I'm distorted. Okay, I'm just curious. I don't want to.
Hanging by the seat of your pants.
Okay, is this better now?
Yes.
Is that a lot better?
Yes.
Okay, well, all right. This is using the telephone microphone and not my other one, so I'll just go with it, okay?
Good.
All right, now. Getting through with Mesa here. Let me get questions that came in. Anyone that's listening for the first time, a new on the call, this is an unusual... God, I am speechless today. I'm just going to go and do this. I'll explain it on another day. I think that I'm still in travel mode, and all my energies haven't arrived here, okay? So, hang on. I hear.
Speak while you think, Vin, because I believe that sound quality is going downhill again.
Oh, the quality is going down again?
Yeah.
This is one of those days. I am just curious. I'd like to ask
Hi there. This is Terry. I just came out to the car so that, and I unmuted myself so that I'll do the call from out here so I'm not echoing. Am I sounding okay?
Perfect, yes.
Okay, good.
All right. Okay. Listen, I want to unmute everybody. I want to ask a couple questions. For those of you that listened to our Monday call, hang on a second. Can you hear
me? Unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes.
Everybody?
Yeah,
loud and clear. I was just curious, how many of you had ever heard that story of Enlil and Enki? Anybody?
I've heard it.
I have.
I've heard it.
About that a few times.
How many of you never heard it?
I just read the book. I don't understand.
You read the book?
Yeah, the lost book.
Okay, was that Zechariah Sitchin?
No, Zechariah Sitchin, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You know, on some level, there's some connection to this work we're doing, and I haven't figured it out yet. But I know there's a connection. And
muted.
Because there's too many names that are associated from that period to this period. For example, one of the things that I didn't talk about on Monday, those of you that have read the original Challenge from Daphne know that the first voice that talked to me in those sessions identified itself as Ptah. And then Ptah said it was an emissary for the Elohim, because the Elohim started coming through the council. And when I was searching all this, I found out that Ptah was another name for guess who? Enki. Okay? And so there's something in this mix that relates to that period of time that I'm still researching and figuring out. One thing I found out on the internet is that there's hundreds of pages of translations from this period of time from a university in England. So you all can check it out too, and we'll see what we discover. But there's something here still unfolding. And on that note, I think we'll start. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
You're there, okay. We have some questions for today. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on the line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we have some questions with our sources. I'd like to say hello before we continue.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our joy to be with each and every one of you who wishes connection. We take a moment and we feel the sanctity of the moment as we descend. And descend is not really the right word because we are where we want to be automatically. All we have to do is intend, and we greet each and every one who wishes to be connected. Do you have questions?
You know what? I wanted to just open up with opening the door for some comments on our Monday night session, if that is still in the space, because we didn't get any comments. We didn't go into a transmission space. Is there anything you would like to share on this Enki Enlil circumstance? One thing I would like to ask about that is, it's my understanding that was in Africa. Was that after Atlantis? Were those humans that were being evolved in Africa, was that long before Atlantis, and did they become Atlanteans, or were they separate episodes of evolution? Thank you.
Thank you. These were separate episodes of evolution. The gold mining began in South Africa long before Atlantis. It was even prior to Lemuria going down, although Lemuria was a very young continent at the time that the gold mining was going on. And South Africa was the stable area with much gold. There is still much gold there. And there were separate places that were set up as mining of gold, and space ships picked up the gold and then transported it away. Get us a further moment to reset as we are moving into the frequency of the gold mining era, and we need to reset. This is for on. We need to reset to the higher frequencies of ourselves, as it was some of our descendants, the Anunnaki, who were responsible for the setting up of the gold mining and the bringing in of a race of humans that could withstand the rigors of the earth plane. The humans that were thereby developed were very emotional, and we ask if you have further questions.
Well, all of this happened before Atlantis, but the humans that were hybrids developed in Africa, did they end up coming to Atlantis, migrating to Atlantis, or was that a whole separate seeding of entities that became Lemuria and Atlantis?
There was separate seeding from different planetary experiments, and experiments is the wrong word, from different planets. The required the people that did not graduate to be moved to another area. So the people of Lemuria were a separate seeding, and the people of Atlantis had moved there from other areas in other separate seedings. The people of Scandinavia were a separate outpost of Pleiadians. There was an outpost of Sirians that come to Sirius area.
Were the Egyptians an outgrowth of the seeding in South Africa?
They were. There was mixtures there. And there were experiments going on in Atlantis of genetic experiments with implanting with genes from animals to see if they could make a human with some more phenomenal extrasensory appendages that would enable phenomenal beings to be born and grow in the earth plane. And they were somewhat outcast, and some of those were extraordinary beings and then came to Egypt.
What is the percentage of beings on the planet today who are derivative of the Anunnaki hybrid experiment?
Thirty-one percent.
Okay, and that would that be the black people in Africa as well?
Some of the black people in Africa, but they moved into being. They were culled once the white started to appear, and so there are a good many of white also that are derivative of them.
Mm-hmm. And do you want to say anything on the connection between Ptah, who was speaking to me through Daphne, and Enki, who there were indications for the same being?
We see that these beings have been around taking responsibility for things in the earth realm for a long time. It is not measured in years so much as events, where an event would occur and they would be responsible and it would not go as they planned, as they did not have a total outcome in mind, and there were differences in desired outcomes between individuals. Therefore, the individuals felt responsible and they grasped with a commitment their desired outcomes, and they have come back again to work through their unfinished goals.
Are any of those people incarnate in bodies at this time? I should say incarnate on this planet or incarnate on spaceships.
We do not look at spaceships right now. We see there is one individual. There's more than one individual that have unfinished goals and desires concerning this planet. And they are present today, and they are working still toward their goals. There are other individuals who have come in since that time who are working toward their survival too, such as the Greys.
Thank you. You know what? This is really fascinating. We're giving ancient aliens a run for their money on our shows right now. And I think what we'll do is we're going to move into the questions that people have submitted. And maybe next week we'll look more at this Enki Enlil gold mining incident. We'll have more questions to ask. Thank you so much for filling us in on those questions. And,
we are at your service.
So the question here is, this is from, let's see here, this is from Bob Travers. And I'll just read this. The Ascended Masters, Jesus, Buddha, Babaji, Muhammad, Saint Germain can manifest in the 3D physical. To do a discourse or make a note on paper appear for the student to read, or make written messages of golden or white light in the thin air for students to read and absorb. Why couldn't the Elohim manifest a note in front of you or Terry, and then it vanishes into thin air? I understand that they do not manifest as a being because they have never been physical. This question applies to the Raghu. Thank you for what you do, Bob Travers and Chico. Let me answer that in my own experience for a moment, and then I'll turn it over to them for an answer. And I remember when Terry and I were in a little room, I think, in La Cunada, California. And we were having a chat, and I asked them, can you guys come into the room as an orb? And they said that they already were in the room as an orb, but the orb was so big, it went from the earth to the sky. It was huge. And I started to try to feel that. That was before we ever did a grid healing, before I ever experienced the huge energies that were involved in this connection. And when I would say, mostly we were just fascinated with this unusual information that we were accessing. And they said there was an orb in the room. And then another time, maybe some of you saw the picture of this, Terry was taking my picture because I knew I was going to be on a radio show, and somebody asked for a promo picture of me without my glasses. And we were outside, I was standing against the wall, and Terry took a picture. And I looked at the picture with a digital camera, and I said, I don't like my expression. Let's take another one. And then I had the idea, why don't we call in the light and see if that helps me look any better. And so we took another picture, and I looked at it, and I still didn't like the way I looked. So I forgot about it. Then a month later, I looked at the pictures, and there was the second picture, and there was this pink glow on my chest, an unmistakable glow over the sweater I was wearing. And of course, we went and did a channeling, and I asked them, and they said, that was them, and they said their color was pink. And then later on, we were in somebody's backyard, and somebody took a picture of me sitting next to somebody, and I was totally covered in pink. You couldn't even see me. I mean, you could, but hardly, because there was so much pink. And again, they took credit for it. They said that pink was their color. And then we have a guy that sent me an email, and he was on one of our calls, and he was feeling an incredible amount of energy on the call, and his computer was on, and he was watching his computer, and the computer had Real Player on it, which was black, and his Real Player turned pink right before his eyes. And so same color pink that was around me in that backyard. And he was convinced that he had some kind of intervention. And then another time, somebody sent me an email in the middle of the night, and the email was a copy of some Ra channeling. I don't remember the circumstances, from Carla Ruckert, I think. And in the middle of the night, I was sleeping, and my computer printer suddenly turned on and printed out this email, which never happens, okay? And, you know, I can say there's been a lot of experiences like that. And then occasionally people write me, and they have some kind of experience like that. So these guys can make themselves known in this realm. And one of the problems, I believe, about using miracles like that as a way to make yourself known is, in particular, if you study the Ra material, you know, the Ra group had a very difficult time in Egypt. And this is on my workshop, The Egyptian Connection, egypt.intelligent-infinity.com, that 10,500 BC, they were working with Ra-Ta, and they manifested bodies out of light energy that people could see. And they were working with the people, and they were doing miracles of healing. And that particular incident, according to the Carla Ruckert materials, had a very bad outcome, because the priesthood of the time started using the Ra manifestation and taking credit for it, and using it to, instead of giving it to the general populace as a lifting of the whole cosmology here, they took it to themselves and made it special and used it to control people, and perhaps even brought in negative reptilian sources and said it was Ra. And thereby, in Egypt, there's this name Amon Ra. And for thousands of years, the whole country was under the auspices of Amun Ra, until there was an Egyptian pharaoh who outlawed polytheism, outlawed worship of Amun Ra, and said there was one god, and his name was Akhenaten, and his wife was Nefertiti. And in the Egyptian connection, the case is made that I might have been that person, and Daphne might have been the other person. Now, a fascinating story, a lot of evidence pointing to that, which accounts for this unusual stuff that we're doing. Rob will definitely did not want to do any more manifestations of bodies after that incident in Egypt. And in fact, they say that that their best way of making a difference in this realm is by making people curious and having them reach back. Miracles cause people to give up their power. They cause them to become blind believers, and they don't make the energy connection. They just believe something. And that does not evolve you. It is the reaching back that causes your evolution. So their goal, as they said, is to make people curious, cause them to reach back. Now, that's not necessarily a requirement for other people. And when we look at Jesus had a body, Buddha had a body, I don't know about all the others, Muhammad, Say Germain, all those people took bodies here. Some of them are probably stuck here. And when you have, do they do miracles? Well, the problem is the negative can do miracles. Like, for example, I believe some of the phenomena we read about, like statues bleeding or crying, or some people say the Fatima miracle was actually a manifestation of the negative. The negative can do things. They can talk to people. They can channel. So a miracle in of itself, a phenomena in of itself, is not enough to believe something is positive. There needs to be a resonance. And phenomena causes people to let their guard down and believe something because they want to believe it. And on that note, I'll read the question again. I'll turn it over to our sources. The Ascended Masters, Jesus, Buddha, Babaji, can manifest in 3D physical to do a discourse or make a note on paper appear for the student to read, or make written messages of golden and white light into the thin air for students. Of course, I would always ask, how do you know it's Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Babaji? You know, how do you know if somebody says there's something, they are who they say? And I say that about our work. How do you know because a source says that they're the Elohim, that they are? And I say, don't believe it. Let yourself figure it out by resonance, by wisdom. And, you know, all these phenomena that occur, which I was just talking about, they kind of happen off to the side, and sometimes they'll say they did it, but it's always in such a manner that it looks like it might have been coincidence. So, and I believe that's the way they want it. But on that note, let me turn it over to our sources and let them address that question from Bob. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your question. We connect with people who ask, who desire connection. And we are not there to prove who we are or to turn people's minds around to believing blindly or to being in awe of us. We have, we are an assistance group who provide assistance when asked. The proving of something that we are there, if someone would ask, we would come in, and if they were sensitive to our frequencies, they would be able to see us. So by not providing miracles, we, that is wrong too, because we do provide miracles. in certain circumstances, but it is not to show off. It is not to be a showcase for us or to make people believe. When people fervently want a change, when people are asking from their heart, from their desire for a better life, for a shift, for a change, then there is a purpose both in our own sphere and their sphere to put the change into effect. There is a further purpose than to just show off by writing castles in the sky. We, in some cases, each case is a separate individual case. In some cases, we may provide some way for the individual to see us. But it would depend upon all of the circumstances involved, the people involved, and what their purposes are. We're just not show dogs that wish people to see us. It is more purposeful. We are there for you, and in some cases, if a person needs a farther clue, a farther sense that we are there, we will give it. We hope that sheds some light on this.
Thank you. Some of you that have been paying attention to our calls have heard some of the recent stories of people that are hearing a ding-dong in their sleep, like a pure doorbell, which they think is the Elohim. And then after that, they start feeling the energies on our line. And, of course, you know, our sources have said, yes, that was them. But, of course, you see, if somebody's a skeptic, they're going to think they're just making it up. They're being mass hypnotized. They'll find a way to not believe it. And one of the things about all of this is it's not about belief. There's an experience here to be had. It's not a belief. It's like if everyone tuned into our calls and believed that they're talking to the Elohim and this is it, that would not necessarily be the greatest thing in the world. The key is to make people curious and to make them reach. Because when you're curious and you reach, that's what brings in the energy. Then when you learn how to ask in some way, and you have something happen, that is a learning experience. I have a question here from Dharmananda in Boulder Creek, California. And she's been going through some health issues. And it's always tricky because we can't diagnose or even recommend things for health. So consider anything that's said here as entertainment value only. But he has osteoarthritis, sciatica, and scoliosis for years now. Let me just say, for people with, I don't know if osteoarthritis, there is one really good product out there called Jigsaw Products, which has some very unusual aspects to it in terms of alternative health products that can be beneficial. They have a time-released magnesium, and they have a lot of testimonials on their website. People get miraculous results with those products that they don't get with the normal products. So you might check it out, Jigsaw Products, particularly for osteoporosis, but this is osteoarthritis. I don't know if that would work. But, you know, call them up and ask them, has anyone experienced help for any of those problems, okay? I have had numerous energy healings, and I'm now working with a body code healer. I even put my problem in the light months ago, and I asked God and our sources to help me get healed every day. But so far, nothing has worked. I am really frustrated, and I just like to ask you, is there anything you can tell me? Can you help with this issue? That's Dharmananda in Boulder Creek, California.
this moment. We see that there are some nutrients that would help. For instance, as Wynn mentioned, magnesium. And there are other nutrients you might check into helpline.cc and listen to some of the calls that Dr. Marshall has given and talked about these subjects. But beyond that, you are a being that is beyond your body. You are a beautiful being, and the body is affecting you, and you are affecting to some degree the body, as you have had this condition for so long. It seems that nothing can be done. We speak slowly as we put the concept into your area that you may have the concept, perhaps even by remembering back to a time, if you can, before that happened, before when your movements were liquid and flowing, and you were able to move the body without pain. If you remember that for some period, small period, even a flash of it, to get the sense of it, of what it is like, just for an instant, to be without the pain and have the body be supple and able to move, to get the idea of that, and then get the idea that you do not have to be bound by the limitations that your poorly nourished joints are expressing. You are not the body. I know, we know, we understand that it is frustrating as you wish to break through and to have the supple movements as once were when you were small. To get the idea of this, being supple, being able to move, break the limitations of non-movement, and then ask yourself, what are the benefits? Although slim, what are the benefits of the limitations? And see if you can get the clear picture of joy to move supply, to move again. However, your body has gotten ground in to the lack of suppleness, the lack of movement, the lack of ability to move without pain. There is a difference between what you wish and what you are experiencing with your body. And the ideal, the goal, is to narrow the gap between these two. If you can get the sense of it, even for an instant, a little bit every day, once, until you get the sense of it, just within your own mind, that is a place to start. The next place is to check out helpline.cc and you can call the number there and speak to one of Dr. Marshall's representatives, tell them your symptoms, and ask for their recommendations. And ask them what they can tell you about your condition. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Rock the Night, I think that's David Fillinger, I think so. In Pennsylvania, asked about advice on clearing one's heart and keeping it clear. You know what, I'm going to answer this one, and I have one more question I want to get to. We're almost over. And Dennis, I don't know, Dennis Bingman asked me again, Dom Herman about this question asked me again, and the gravity question. I'm asking these questions that I think are most important for people. Is there some general advice on clearing one's heart and keeping it clear? My answer to that is look at the experiences that you're being called to have that you're avoiding. You know, there's a very fine line in this realm because there's experiences that you may need in order to clear energy in your body. And there's experiences that if you go into them, it causes karma. And having the discernment to know the difference. But for some of you, you need a certain experience. You need a intimacy. You need sexual release. You know, those are things that help open energies in your body and can open your heart. And then your heart starts opening to everybody. And then as you learn to do that, you start to be more adept at doing it yourself without having the need for someone else to help you. Although it's always good to have that. But oftentimes there's a need for some kind of experience. And instead of going out and having that experience, we're saying heart open, open heart, as if there was a technique that could do it. And sometimes the experience is just going to a group meditation where everyone has their hearts open and you can participate in it. It's like sometimes the New Age people say, love must come from within, and then you can get love from without. And I'm not so sure it's quite true. There's an aspect of that true. The other aspect is that when you can have someone that can see through you and love you who you really are, there's probably no greater impetus to getting your heart open and learning how to function in this realm. But that's easy, not so easy to find. And let me see what time is it.
Hey, we have a comment. We have a comment. To open your heart to yourself so that when you see something that you feel that you should open your heart, to let it be and open your heart to your own self so that whatever that is, you let it be and forgive yourself for it and observe it. Find out more about it. So open your heart to yourself.
Thank you. And you know what? There's no one size fits all. And I know everyone wants to say, okay, I'll do anything. Tell me what to do. And the thing about it is, when you say, tell me what to do, the first thing that's happening is you're giving up your power. And so, it's something that you kind of have to discover without giving up your power to someone else or even a source on the other side. But on that note, it's 6:58. We love you all. Thank you for being here. And this is Darian Wynn in Mesa, Arizona. Thank you for your questions. And we'll see you Sunday for our grief healing. And thank you all the people that are volunteering, in particular Hive, who does such a great job at making everyone feel comfortable.
Unmuted.
So, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
I'm free, Rock.
Thank you, Heist.
Thank
you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Hey, that's too well.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Hey, Wynn, when Mesa are you?